This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. All eyes are on Iowa and New Hampshire, the first two states where voters are making their voices heard in the Democratic primary presidential process. Still about a month to go until North Carolinians weigh in on who should face Donald Trump in the general election, which sounds like a long time, but actually early voting starts next week. And Donald Trump is coming back to the state on Friday. So how important is North Carolina for presidential candidates? Jeff DeBeery is WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief. He's been reporting on the presidential race on the ground here in our state. Welcome back, Jeff.
Good to be here, Frank.
So as of noon today, we really don't know the total results yet, or what do we know about the Iowa caucuses?
I don't mean to be a smart aleck. The winner has been the coding issue. That's the winner so far.
Democracy. Glitch. There is not an app for that.
Not yet. Give Silicon Valley time. There was this coding issue. There was an issue with an application that was tracking votes. The State Democratic Party in Iowa says that there was not any issue with either hacking nor with collecting the information, but there was an issue with transmitting that information. A lot of unhappy people, understandably. At this hour, there are some calls going on between the state party in Iowa and with some of the leading candidates out there. We await word on who is going to get how many of these 41 delegates that were up for grabs last night. I would just point out two things in brief. One, North Carolina does not have any. First of all, we have a primary, not a caucus, as Iowa does. There's also nothing in the realm of this app that's in play here. And there's also a paper trail in Iowa.
Right.
So this hopefully we'll all get
worked out. They can use old technology, because actually you could have ridden a horse from Keokuk to Des Moines and back and had the results.
You've
faster
been to both those places, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. It's the geode capital of the world, Keokuk.
I have been to Des Moines. That's all I can do for you.
Yep. Let's talk about North Carolina and presidential candidates. Why is it important? How important is North Carolina?
North Carolina is very important. There are 14 states that are going to go 4 weeks from today. North Carolina is the third most rich in terms of delegates. California and Texas also go on March 3rd. And I would offer this historical nugget to try to illustrate what's at stake or what is likely up for grabs on March 3rd. And that is, since 1984, there's only been one time that either major party candidate effectively won Super Tuesday, received the most delegates on Super Tuesday, and did not go on to get the nomination. And that was back in 1984. So whichever Democrat receives the most delegates on Super Tuesday, historically, is in a very good position to go on and receive the nomination.
All right. And North Carolina, obviously, now participant.
We're talking about March 3rd.
Billionaire Michael Bloomberg, talk about his primary campaign, because he's really banking a lot on this, right?
A wise political observer said to me within the last couple of weeks, if you didn't know any better, if you flew in from Iowa, or if you were visiting, or maybe not paying too much attention to politics, but started to, you might think that this is a race between Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, both of whom are billionaires, both of whom are investing a lot of capital in advertisements in North Carolina. And it'll be interesting to see, one, if that has any real significant positive effect for either of them come tally time on March 3rd. And also, as we think about this bigger picture of the early states, so Iowa, New Hampshire a week from Tuesday, and then a Nevada caucus and a South Carolina primary, those are the four that go before Super Tuesday. And there's some thought, and Bloomberg has not really made this a secret. He has really ignored those first four states. And one has to wonder, if he does particularly well on Super Tuesday, how that affects the dynamic going forward of candidates approaching those four states, because the relative number of delegates up for grabs, or again, caucuses and primaries, in those first four compared to the primary, it's the Super Tuesday primary, it's just minuscule.
Right. The hope is it's going to give you a boost going in, but if it doesn't and it turns out some other candidate has just focused on Super Tuesday, ignored all that and won, that would cause you to recalculate. Donald Trump going to be here on Friday. He apparently considers North Carolina important.
From the strategists and the political, various political operatives that I've talked to in recent months, they do not see a path to the White House for him in which he doesn't carry North Carolina. North Carolina is one of those dominoes that really has to fall for him in the reelection campaign. He won the state not, I mean, comfortably 4 years ago, won it by more than 3 percentage points. And he needs North Carolina. He spent a lot of time here in 2016. And the expectation is that he will be making many, many visits here in the next 7 months.
All right. Yeah. North Carolina very much in contention and going to be the focus of a lot of attention by the national media in that race, but also the Senate race.
That's right. And I obviously, a lot of things get lost in the shuffle. But the U.S. Senate is that second race here in North Carolina. And as we think about races across the country that are in play in 2020, expected to be close, there's a Republican incumbent or Republican incumbents in Colorado, Arizona, Maine, and North Carolina, and they're deemed the most vulnerable. These are the closest to toss-ups that we have. So North Carolina is right now in the process of deciding between five Democrats, one of whom will receive the nomination to take on Tillis in that general election race. And just as a little bit of context, it was 6 years ago when Tillis unseated Kay Hagan. That race saw about $120 million in direct spending to both campaigns, direct contributions. It is expected to exceed that this year. That was the most expensive U.S. Senate race ever, and this may well end up being now, again, the most U.S. Senate, most expensive U.S. Senate
Tillis race. Is considered vulnerable, yep. But the Democrats have to come up with a candidate. Talk about the candidates who are running to oppose Tom Tillis.
They do. It's an interesting race. There are five candidates in this race. Two are largely seen as the front runners, as having a legitimate shot of winning this primary. And that's based on money and resources. That's based on polling. That's based on elected office that they have held. One of those two candidates is Erica Smith. She's a three-term state senator from Northampton County, which is northeast, about 2 hours of Raleigh. She's an African-American woman. She got into this race about a year ago. The other candidate is a fellow by the name of Cal Cunningham. He served in the Senate 20 years ago. He first won when he was in his 20s, back in 2000, served just one term. He was drawn out, didn't run again. He ran unsuccessfully for the U.S. Senate in 2010, losing in a primary runoff. So, you know, races are all very interesting if you spend a little time with them. But one of the things that has struck me about this race is that Smith got in a year ago, as I mentioned. However, in the first half of 2019, she was unable to really show a strong effort in terms of fundraising. And come June of 2019, Cal Cunningham, who had declared as a candidate for lieutenant governor, actually moved over to this race. And what had been elusive to her were a lot of campaign donations went his way, and he's been able to raise a lot of money, which has given him what we view as a considerable leg up heading into March.
So he's got the money. He's late to the race. As you said, Erica Smith, who is an African-American woman and a sitting state senator right now, mm-hmm. got in early. And she has taken some umbrage about this. She has really said, look, what's going on here? And I know that you talked with a Democratic consultant about the race, Thomas Mills, mm-hmm. and here's what he had to say about the dynamics here.
If you're going to jump in a race that early, the whole reason to do it is to show that you've got the money and the connections and the organization to clear the field.
All right. Democratic consultant Thomas Mills talking about Democratic primary for U.S. Senate seat in North Carolina. I'm talking to Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry, who's a guest on my show. There's a certain logic in that, but it also, if you take a step back, the paradox is, well, if you don't have the money and you don't have the connections, it could be for historic reasons. And if you were an African-American candidate, you might point to that as continuing the same old problem.
There have been more than 1,200 U.S. senators in the history of the United States Senate. 10 of them have been black. Two of them have been black women. So Erica Smith is trying to become the third black woman in the history of the country to serve in the U.S. Senate. That's a remarkable statement. Now, there are many ways you can take that, but that's a remarkable statement. I would note for some. Erica Smith has said that Chuck Schumer, who has effectively considerable control over a large piggy bank that is used to help elect and help support candidates. She has said that he did not want a black candidate in this race. Now, I think what's important for levity's sake is that from the reporting I've done and conversations I've had, we understand that the Democratic Senatorial Candidate Committee pursued at least two African-Americans, one Anthony Fox, a former Charlotte mayor who went on to be Secretary of Transportation in President Obama's administration, and also Vi Lyles, the current mayor of Charlotte. They both passed, for whatever reason, to enter this race. So it's unclear how much of it has to do with race, how much of it has to do with her candidacy. I mean, there are a lot of factors that go into why certain groups get involved with certain candidates.
A lot of factors. And again, the fundraising, the ability of a lesser-known candidate to raise money. But it also has to be pointed out that in this election, turnout is going to be everything. And turning out voters who didn't show up in 2016, if you're a Democrat, could be the key to success.
I've had conversations with plenty of Democrats who are wary, is probably a good word, about not having a person of color or a woman high on that ticket. And if this is a president, U.S. Senate, and governor candidate trio on the Democratic side that is white man, white man, white man, that makes them concerned. And as a point of evidence, we can turn and we can look at 2012 compared to 2016. And in this state, in 2012, 70% of African-American voters turned out. In 2016, when Barack Obama was not on the ballot, 64% of African-American voters turned out. And as a reminder, that's about 70,000 of a drop-off. And we had a governor's race that was decided by 10,000 votes. This last U.S. Senate race was decided by 46,000 votes. So the margins really matter.
And 2018 proved to the Democratic Party and the Democratic leadership, if they hadn't noticed before, that representation matters. So let's see what happens in this cycle. Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. You can find a link to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Jeff, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Frank.